It's Lake Effect on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks for joining us. Tonight marks the start of the River West 24, a day-long bike race that celebrates community and biking in urban environments. But if you missed registering to cycle for that race or can't cheer on the participants this weekend, don't worry. Another bike race around Milwaukee is coming up in just a couple of weeks. The Amazing Milwaukee Race on Bikes takes teams of two on an urban bike adventure while testing their speed, stamina, and smarts. This is the second race on bikes designed by director Milwaukeean Adam Baus. We've previously talked with him about his foot race version of the event, which is modeled after television's The Amazing Race. Like that show's format, Baus's competitions require racers to complete a course full of physical challenges, brain teasers, and clues to solve while taking them to unique locations around the city. Lake Effect's Stephanie Lecce even participated and lost badly. Baus tells Lecce what is different about the race this August, besides the obvious use of bicycles.
It is the Amazing Milwaukee Race on Bikes, and it is our second event. We had our first one last summer. And it's basically just like our other races, except you get to get from location to location on your bike.
Now, I would imagine that that gives you a little bit more freedom when you're planning the route and even the challenges that people get to do when they go from location to location.
Yes, absolutely. It opens up the whole city to us because we can basically take you to really remote locations or really niche places. It just opens up everything to us, and it makes it so much fun to contact these businesses and be like, how can we get here? And we can do things that you can't do by car or by bus, like the bike trails, bike lanes, various different kinds of streets, and we even have a few secret passageways, too.
Well, drawing on last year's race, what were some of the places you were able to take participants because they were traveling by bike that the on-foot version of the Amazing Milwaukee Race wasn't really able to conceivably go to?
Well, a great example would have been a good leg of the race last year where we got people to 37th and Pierce Street, which is where the Wisconsin Bike Federation office is, also where the new Urban Ecology Center is, and there's that little bridge that connects to Canal Street. We used that a few years ago on the foot race, but last year you could continue on the Hank Aaron State Trail, come up back behind and through Miller Park, and then get up to Doyne Park, which is on the other side of Wisconsin Avenue. And then as you ride through Doyne Park, all of a sudden you spill out onto the Honey Creek Parkway. That would have been far too great a distance to ask people to walk. But on bikes, you get to just see all these neat little trails that take you through these huge landmarks inside the city.
And I bet places, the little connections that people might not have realized, you know, that they would be able to travel on a regular basis.
Yeah, and we can even show off more of those. We can do more of those. I mean, on a foot race, we might be able to show one, just because it might be really far off a basic path or something like that. But on bikes, we can just load up the whole course with all kinds of fun things like that. Another really great example would have been last year. I mean, when you use the trail, you're using things that aren't a regular street. And the Oakleaf Trail on the east side is a perfect example. So we were at the Urban Ecology Center, the main campus at Riverside. We were using the track at Riverside High School. And then you could just get on the path and take that all the way to the lake. You know, that's just a great bike ride. So that's another example of places and ways that we can do things that are totally different from our foot race.
But it still fits in with the mission, the idea that the race is to help people see parts of the city that they've never seen before.
Absolutely. Yeah, we love it when people come away from the race and they're like, I didn't know where any of those places were. I never even knew any of those places existed.
Now, you're talking about all of these far-flung locations you're able to get to on bike, but I wonder how far should participants expect that they'll be traveling?
We have two routes for our bike race. This year, we have a 30-mile route and a 15-mile route.
I just fell over. That's a pretty long distance, or is that maybe for people who are used to bicycling not that bad?
Well, we had even longer ones last year, so they were really ambitious. Last year, we did a 40-mile route and a 20-mile route, and then when we routed the short route, we were running into some safety issues. And I remember the day we tested, we were like, yeah, it's actually 5 miles over. And we were like, well, what can you do, you know? So our participants last year were amazing troopers. I mean, we also ran into a serious weather issue last year. So we're really hoping that won't happen again. So this year, right away, that was one of the first lessons we learned. We were like, we need to lower the length of the course a little bit, make it a little bit more accessible. And coincidentally, it's kind of amazing, but our registrations right now, more people have signed up for the long route than the short route.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing that it's probably attracting a different kind of participant, people who are used to traveling those kinds of distances on their bicycles versus, you know, folks who don't mind running around 5 miles in the city.
Yeah.
On foot.
Yeah. This race particularly attracts even more the active type. You know, people who just are active and they're out and about. I mean, and one of the beauties is our event is in August. So if you only bike during the summer, like most of us do, you're probably in pretty good shape. And 15 miles, when you break it up into 10, 12 pieces, gets really short pretty fast. And especially when you got other people and you have a teammate and you have to have a team of two. So you get to spend the day with them, too. And I'll be interested to see how fast the first, you know, how what time the first place comes in this year.
Now, so, are tandem bicycles allowed?
Absolutely. Of course. So we encourage our tandem friends to join us on the race. I mean, I'm a tandem bike rider, so we always encourage people to get out of tandem.
In our last interview, we talked a lot about how you design the different challenges. I wonder if it's different when you have participants arriving on bicycle versus foot?
Well, one thing is we can use larger areas or we can definitely, we're much more prone to getting into the county park system. I think last year's race used like 9 different parks that were all over the place. So, and mainly because it's a safe route, I mean, if it has a bike trail or something to get through it, but also there's just a lot of neat locations that way. We don't do as many like pinpointed small business locations just because you're going to get overloaded with bikes. We don't cap our attendance so we can have a lot of people on bikes showing up. And it's one thing when you have a lot of people on foot, but now they have these bikes with them and there's one per person. So that can muck up a lot of problems. So we try to, you know, we're very keen on how to route this and find ways that make it as smooth for all purposes and our traffic routing and stuff like that. So
now I know you've also introduced a new clue format.
Well, we did it last year as opposed to how we do our foot races because we do our clues in sequential order. So for our foot races, you know, we're used to printing off a million little pieces of paper and you get each little piece of paper and you get clue 1, you get clue 2, clue 3. Well, obviously people on bikes don't want to deal with that. And then in order to make things valid, you don't want to have all those little pieces of paper at the finish line because even though you might have ran a great race, you're probably going to lose one or something like that. And we just don't want to create that problem for you. So last year what we did is we made them so that they were numbered and you could take pictures of them and then you would just show the pictures at the end. We ran into a lot of problems with that because it was raining last year and some people's phones or cameras, you know, it had water damage and stuff like that. So this year we're going to change it to a manifest format like the River West 24. We'll have a lanyard, we'll have a laminated manifest, and at each stop, once you've completed the task, you're going to get a punch. So basically, you show up at the finish line, we see that you have all your punches, we enter in your team number, we have your official time, and you're done. And what we'll do is we'll still have our clues. Like last year, we'll have them large form printed. I want to print them on 11 by 17 or larger paper so that multiple people can read them at once. And it will tell you exactly what you need to do, but you don't have to take pictures of the clues this year. So it'll allow you to get from location to location, point to point, as you need to. We also will have the maps. We did a lot of maps last year, and so this year we'll use our Milwaukee by Bike map. And so that if you have a map, you can just write down exactly where you need to go and see how you have to get there.
Now, I have a question about that, because mm-hmm. if you have a bicycle, you could detour if you wanted from the route, the prescribed route. How do you make sure that the participants are actually going on the route you want them to take?
Well, we run into some trouble, and that's also a huge concern of mine, because unlike our foot race, where we know once you get on the bus will kind of take you where you need to go. You could be lost within 20 feet of where you just left. And so we get a little concerned about that. And that's one of the reasons why you don't ride solo. You have a teammate, so you're not alone. But what we try to do is that within our routing, we want to find the safest or the most scenic route. So we just pull our checkpoints where you have to find our volunteers. We stretch them out as far as we can. When we put together the bike race last year, I thought it would just be great if, because we were trying something new with this bike format, that we would use a lot of the same locations that we used in the past 3 years. Partially because then we've already have a pre-existing relationship with all these businesses, pretty much get to do the same thing. And we knew we were going to be attracting a whole new group of people compared to, you know, if we're using locations from the first race, there's a good chance that nobody's done them before. So I really wanted to go back to the Menominee Valley Passage at 37th Street and Pierce. And we needed to get to Washington Park. Now, there are a number of ways that you can do that. But on bike, we are running into the problem that we know people who are really cutthroat about the race, they're going to try to find the shortest route they can. And the shortest route for that would have been Holly Road. Now, Holly Road is just bad for bicyclists on so many levels. One, it's a really steep hill. Two, cars drive rather fast on Holly Road, and there is absolutely no room for bikes. So to solve that problem, we coax you into a certain route, and we make you have to go get this next clue at this place. So we pulled people up through Miller Park, through and around Doyne Park, and then from Doyne Park that spits you out onto the Oak Leaf Trail and the Honey Creek Parkway, and that will pretty much take you and deliver you to Hart Park in Wauwatosa over at 68th and State Street. So we put a volunteer there to pull you over there. And then from there, now we can get you from 68th and State to Washington Park by just going a little bit. And then we gave people directions. And all of a sudden you get through Washington Circle and Valete Street. You get through Valete Street and get to ride through beautiful Wauwatosa, and then all of a sudden you're there at Washington Circle and there's a bike lane that delivers you right into Washington Park. So we found a safer option, a rather beautiful option, a much more gradual hill. Milwaukee has a lot more hills than you think, and it just made things a lot safer. Now, we did run into the problem that that's why we added a lot more miles onto that short route, but it was a lot safer, and we were a lot happier with how that could work. And that was one of those sections where just by going a few blocks in a certain way, maybe you didn't realize these streets actually connected you. You all of a sudden, you don't realize that these two neighborhoods are actually a lot closer together and they're a lot more accessible.
Adam, how much did you have to ride around in order to find these routes?
I like to ride, so during the summer, my work schedule is a little bit less, so I try to ride as much as possible. And I work it out a lot on Google Maps with the bike option, and then I just go test it and test it and test it and test it. So anytime I can, if I'm riding and I commute by bike during the summer when the weather's nice, I will go out of my way to take any part of a leg that might be on the race and see if I can work out what the streets are going to be ahead of time. So, I use my Milwaukee bike map a lot. It's an excellent resource. So anytime I want to get from place to place, I pull up the map and I see what bike lanes are suggested, and then I just go ride it.
Now, this is obviously your second amazing Milwaukee race by bike, mm-hmm. but this is your fifth?
It's our sixth big event. We have had four amazing Milwaukee races, and now this will be our second amazing Milwaukee race on bikes.
You know, I would imagine you're learning something each time you put this event on. What have you learned since the first amazing Milwaukee race by bike?
Ooh, that is such a great question. There are so many little things that we've learned. One, we have to be really careful how we craft our clues and how hard we make them, because we've definitely made some really hard puzzles in the past. And, you know, some people really like that, but I think like anybody, if you're working on something after a half an hour and you're not getting it, it's something needs to change. So we learned a lot about that. Last year with the race on bikes, we learned that we have to work with a smaller distance for this. I mean, just by doing the event several times, I've learned a lot about how to prep my volunteers. And this last race that we had in April was by far the smoothest. We really broke our volunteer orientation into like four parts, and we had to do activity test days, we had to do route test days, bus test days, and then the final big orientation where we walk through the whole thing. And so, of course, our volunteer force, I'm learning too, we have to keep bulking it up. We want to get as many people interested in being on the back end as much as the front end. The more, the better, as long as we really get them into how the race has to operate. And our volunteers have a great time. So I would say those are some really big things that I've learned. And just by doing that, I think the race has continued to get smoother and smoother. And as we get more people and as we're growing, we try to make all the processes of the preparations just more streamlined. This last year, it changed the clue format again so that they're all the same size, just because it was so much easier to prepare.
Does that organization on the front end help when it comes to, you know, unpredictable variables like the weather?
Oh, yeah. Well, last year, if you remember, it never rained all summer until the day of the amazing Milwaukee race on bikes. We started at about noon, and at 1:15, a massive thunderstorm and hailstorm came down on all of our lovely participants. We just try to tell our volunteers to bunker down and hold out, because a lot of people kind of find that, I mean, I love those participants who are like, no, I really liked it with the rain. It was so much fun, you know, so much more adventure. And I think our volunteers, we are very prepared. We like to be organized, and so that we're ready for anything that may happen and we can deal with any situations to give our participants the best time possible. I also really like to make my jobs for my volunteers as easy as it possibly can be. So we try to take the brunt on the upper staff end and then make it as smooth and as fun, because they're giving their whole day to us too. So.
Now, for those who are listening to this and thinking, this sounds really cool, but I cannot bike 15, 20 miles, are there still ways to get involved?
Absolutely. We would love to have you on our volunteer force. We call it our Amazing Milwaukee Race Task Force. And we can always use volunteers. I mean, people who are excited about the city of Milwaukee and getting to go to local businesses, we would love to have you on our volunteer force. So you can go to our website, and there's a link there for volunteers, and you can email me and we'll make sure that you get ready to go for our next event.
Awesome. And I know that there are also other like mini events leading up to this great race.
Mm-hmm. What we do, we did have a little bit, we had a kickoff event in May that was a lot of fun, just to give people a taste of what might be coming on this this next Amazing Milwaukee Race on Bikes. But we also, we thought it would be really neat, because the bike aspect to the race is new, that I really wanted to get into leading a regular group bike ride. So every Tuesday night at Roman Coin on Brady Street, which has been a great location for us in the past, we leave at 6 o'clock, and we normally ride for about 2 hours, and it's a really friendly, easy pace. It's a great group of people, and we normally ride about 15 miles, and it's a different route every week. So it's not quite like getting a bike race, but you might get a really good flavor of how my mind works when it comes to planning the route, and you'll see, well, just like last week, of course it's themed. But last week, I remember we had a guy who had never biked with us before. He came to join us. I asked him what his favorite part was, and I showed him the little connector, the little secret passageway on Jefferson Street, the Jefferson Tunnel that gets you from Clybourne to St. Paul. Jefferson Street stops, but you can actually go by foot between and underneath the interstate. Well, what that did is exactly what we go for, is that we are trying to expose people to places around Milwaukee that they didn't know existed. But for him, he said that that's going to make biking around downtown so much easier, knowing that there's that little 100-foot connector, instead of having to bike all the way down and around and back behind the art museum. So we try to show a little. Last week was a really fun ride where we did all the French Street names for Bastille Days, but and then we have a really cool one next week. But I try to use the Milwaukee by Bike Map so that you see it as a resource and you understand how to use the Milwaukee by Bike Map, and how, when you have a bike lane or we're looking for little ways to get around the city. And then I try to throw in fun stuff like, we do have our fun little secret passageways.
Well, Adam, it sounds like this race is going to be awesome. Good luck to you, and thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much, Stephanie.
Adam Bouse is the director and designer of the Amazing Milwaukee Race on Bikes 2, which will be held August 11th. There are still spots open to compete in the 15 or 30-mile courses and opportunities to volunteer. Bouse spoke with Stephanie Lecce. You can find more information at wuwm.com/lakeeffect.